Today is Tuesday, June 26th, and I hereby welcome you to the Tuesday Morning Esports Talk. I'm DT and I'm the host of the show. Thank you very much for downloading the latest episode or listening to it. Today, we will talk about League of Legends and the start of Summer Split in the top regions, as well as some news coming from the world of Counter-Strike from last week. But like I said, first of all, some League of Legends talk, and I want to try and stay relatively chronologically in this, and I hope I'll be successful in that. Last time I talked about League of Legends on this podcast, which I plan to do a lot more in the future, by the way, I recapped the LPL Spring Split Finals, which happened about 2 months ago. And since then, we of course had the mid-season Invitational, where the player formerly known as the Crownless King, Uzi, was able to add a second title into his cabinet in quite quick succession. Everyone was gushing over the bot lane carry matchups we were able to witness, and I actually mentioned this back then as well. And it was great to see these all-time players face their intercontinental counterparts. Well, fast forward to about 3 or 4 weeks ago, patch 8.11 came around, and Royal Never Give Up substitute bot lane carry Abel actually picked up Yasuo in the bot lane in a match in the Demacia Cup. And seeing this unfolding showed us that we were looking at a completely changed playing field for at least a few weeks of competitive play at the beginning of the Summer Split. And this is actually what we have been witnessing in the past few weeks, or past 2 weeks. A lot of things happened that were unthinkable just 21 days ago, and I want to highlight just a couple of them in particular in the next few minutes before I quickly talk about the general landscape of each region and which teams will be interesting to follow up on the next few weeks. But first off, I will start with the arguably craziest turn of events, everything that is happening with SK Telecom T1 right now. Until now, they have played 5 best of 3s and sit in the lower half of the table in LCK with stats of 1-4, and their only win coming from the latest match against 0-6 Jhinnah Green Wings. More about that particular best of three in just a second, but this shows how hard SKT has been hit by the meta change. We have Faker with confidence issues, Bang saying this is definitely not the game I used to play, and Koma putting on crazy compositions for their lineup. We've seen Faker on Taric, and even the whole starting lineup, including Faker, being subbed out for a whole best of three versus MVP. All of that made SKT look rather helpless in this situation. Until 2 days ago, however. In the aforementioned best of three against Jhinnah Green Wings, they pulled out a funneling comp with Xayah and Rakan, which, one, allowed them to beat Jhinnah Green Wings rather quickly, and two, showed us that they are still able to adapt to the current meta successfully. In the second game, they ran a rather traditional comp, and although it took them a bit longer to finish the job, in the end they made it a convincing 2-0. Next up, maybe even as crazy as what happened with SKT, the whole Cloud9 ordeal from the last 2 weeks. It all somehow started with some rather cryptic tweets from Jensen Sneaky and Smoothie making fun of the fact that they were riding the bench, which caused a lot of confusion in the community, wondering if they were joking and what all of that was about. Almost simultaneously, however, Jack and Report came out with a video statement where they explained that the Academy players showed them the passion for the starting spot, and Jack even said something along the lines of that these are the best players they can feel at that particular moment. And although he stated that Sneaky's, Jensen, and Smoothie stay relevant and very important for the daily work of the team, that kind of was a slap in the face. But, that's a decision that they made. And since then, 2 weeks and 4 matches have passed. And, it doesn't look exactly good good for them. They won 1-3 in these 4 matches, only winning against Optic and losing against Clutch, 100 Thieves, and Golden Guardians of all teams. They still have not switched back until now, but I'll talk about my thoughts on that later on. Sticking with interesting roster moves, however, we are now talking about Fnatic in the EU-LCS, who announced at the start of Week 2 that Vipo will start at the bot lane carry position, with Reckless taking up a place on the bench. which came extremely shocking for the whole community. Did we have something similar to Cloud9 on our hands, with a once highly praised performer having motivational and attitudinal problems? Well, after a bit of explaining from all sides, it turned out to be reckless to push for people to play in order to see how the team deals with that. In week one, we saw Reckless and Fnatic in general not being exactly comfortable with the new meta, as we've seen Reckless put out Janna in the first game versus Misfits doing their Kai'Sa funneling comp that they played with Caps, which failed miserably. Although they succeeded with a similar funneling comp versus Schalke a day later, where Reckless played Karma, they did still not seem to be exactly in a good place. And with Bipu in week two, they made short work of both H2K and Vitality in a dominating fashion, which only speaks for them, having been able to identify a way to improve their style of play, even if it makes if it means making a tough decision for the whole roster and their fan base. On Sunday, however, a short blurb of an interview with Reckless has been posted on Fnatic's new IGTV channel on Instagram, where she said something that he said something that shows the mindset of a player like Reckless. He said, and I quote, that if playing Vipo is us trying hardest to win, then I just need to fully support that as how if we decide that playing me as a hyper carry and everyone just trying support me is the best way to win. And I think this shows a lot of maturity at a very, very high level for a player to communicate like that and to even think like that. And someone who's always been one of the stars of a team, just adapting to a situation like that and making sure that he puts the needs of the team above his own needs, and which kind of is sh or should be something that is quite straightforward, but it often isn't the case. And so I think that this high level of maturity is a really, really an important thing that needs to be stressed or should be stressed in this situation. So generally speaking, we have learned in the past 2 weeks that change is often very difficult to deal with. Looking forward, however, just a few more talking points. Again, back to Cloud9. Like I said, until now, they have not switched back from any of the three moves they have made. The organization and Jack specifically, who stood for these changes and still does, of course, as the CEO of Cloud9, is in a tough position right now. They most certainly did what they thought was the best decision for the organization and the LCS campaign. For one, if you feel like your players do not take their job seriously, you cannot let them get away with it that easily. But the problem is, especially in the world of sports, which isn't the realm of esports, of course, but actually in all aspects of life, we all live by one rule. If you're successful, you're right. And C9 hasn't really been right in this time span. Then you see Sneaky, Smoothie, and especially Jensen teared up in the Academy League, and you start to wonder if all of that has really been worth it. Because the problem is, if it was really about attitudinal problems or issues with these players, they will most definitely not have been resolved if you just simply put them back in right now, because they might feel vindicated by the failure of the last 2 weeks, seeing that this success didn't come without them and maybe now will come with them, and then they will feel, like I said, vindicated or empowered in their belief or in their attitude or in the things that they did. But on the other hand, for the sake of competitiveness, Jack really can't keep things as they are right now. Although having huge leads twice this past weekend at around the 25-minute mark in both games, they were not able to get a single kill afterwards. And something has to give now. In times like these, great leadership is needed to turn everything around for the better. And I believe Jack, with help of his coach Reaper, of course, will be capable of making the right calls. Back once more, this time to SKT. I don't think a win against 0-6 Jhinhae Greenwings is enough of a reason to say that the old SKT is back. But them adapting a Syra Khan comp from Challenger Korea, as I've mentioned before, shows the capability of the coaching staff to be able to change things that needed to be changed or that need to be changed. And while many fans have actually called for Faker to think about his future outside of SKT, and they still are, especially after being benched versus MVP, I don't think Faker even actually entertains that thought for 1 second. In contrast, similar to Reckless, Faker works towards the success of the team no matter what. And if the team doesn't succeed, he doesn't succeed, and it is his duty to turn things around with the team. If this wasn't the case, you would never see the best player in the world and or in the history of the game. You can choose whichever expression you like. Pick up Taric in order to funnel into their lackluster jungler on a champion that he himself is more than capable of playing himself than said jungler. That would be as if Ronaldo went on to play right back so that, I don't know, Arbeloa back in the day could take his place in the offense. Nevertheless, SKT needs to turn it around badly and they need to do it as soon as possible. Their Gauntlet performance needs to be extraordinary in order to for them to make Worlds, which would hurt for them to be missing out on, seeing as it takes place in Korea this year. But we all know the saying, one man's meat is another man's poison. In Korea, we have newly promoted Team Griffin, who lead the standings with a flawless 5-0, putting Kingzone, DragonX and Genji behind them. They actually started with a lot of hype after being undefeated during both Challenger Korea and the promotion stage, a team that consists solely of rookies and a rookie coach, only similar to SK Telecom T1K back in 2013 with Faker, Koma, Benji, and you know the rest of the story. Well, they are still undefeated and have shown that they are a force to be reckoned with. Interestingly, in just a few hours at the time of this recording, Griffin will face their first higher caliber opponent, sorry SKT, when they play Kingzone, right after the Korean Telecom Wars, actually. In the ELCS, we have the two teams with the lowest average game time in the spring split still being undefeated and at the top of the standings. Both G2 and Misfits have been able to adapt well to the meta and the changes it has brought. As an example, G2 put Hyannon and Heimerdinger twice in week 1, and in week 2 they picked and flawlessly executed two funnel comps with Perks being the main beneficiary of those. And well, they're 4-0 right now. But to be fair, those two teams, together with Fnatic, were the favorites of ULCS even going into the summer split, so it is no wonder that they are able to be ahead in the standings. Still an amazing feat nonetheless. And maybe to close all of this out, just to comment on the meta stuff, I think it is hilarious that all of this stuff started in China, as I explained in the beginning of this podcast, and now in most of the LPL games we see traditional drafts with marksmen in the bot lane. And well, I think we can all thank China for causing all of this confusion, however. And well, this wouldn't really be a real episode of this podcast if I didn't talk about Counter-Strike for at least a bit. So this is what we're going to do now. We'll start with something that happened on Saturday. And on Saturday was the MIBR or MIBR, I don't know, made in Brazil reveal, aka one of the worst kept secrets in the history of everything. And lo and behold, it was the old SK Gaming roster that made the switch, which I think wouldn't have even been a surprise 2 months ago anymore, but even less so right now. Nevertheless, the reveal party they had was really cool. And when you see the excitement all of this creates in the whole scene and in Brazil especially, this can only be a good thing. Still, the roster itself now needs to make all of that excitement count for something. They will make their official debut in Cologne next week, and we'll have to see if they can build on their performance in Belo Horizonte. Because the rest of the scene most certainly doesn't sleep. With the recent movement in the French scene after 1, the G2 experiment with NBK as the in-game leader has run its course, and 2, just this week, Envy has terminated all of the remaining contracts of their players. We have a lot of moving pieces in the scene. In addition to this, just yesterday, or on late Sunday, reports have come out that Mousesports are looking to replace Duco. According to sources, they would actually take him out of the roster going into ESL 1 Cologne already. Don't forget that Cloud9 also has to find a fifth player until next week as well. And talking about the bigger picture now, FaZe Clan needs to find a viable long-term solution for the Olofmeister situation as well. And all of these teams come from very different positions and situations. Cloud9, for example, have just bought out FNX out of his contract at the beginning of April for a stunning $200,000. And they took him out of their roster exactly 1 month ago. So he only was in the roster for like 6 or 7 weeks. Now they're looking for another restart. There apparently were pretty advanced talks between the organization and NBK, who has just been replaced in G2 and has now been benched. But it looks like nothing came out of that for the time being. Talk around the scene is that his buyout, similar to Apex buyout, is just too high. Yesterday we learned that it is supposed to be at $800,000. And with that, it is rumored to be higher than what Immortals paid for Stewie, which again is rumored to be the highest buyout in the history of Counter-Strike. It would make sense for Cloud9 to be hesitant to pay that much for a player that has not shown to be worth it in the last few months. So unless G2 lowers the asking price, the probability of one of Apex or NBK to move stays rather slim. Well, many people are asking themselves why G2 puts such a high price tag on these players. And one reason for G2's inelasticity when it comes to the asking price, however, could be because they expect FaZe to try and make a move for NBK as well. With Olaf's inactivities seemingly being something they would hold on for a while now, they are also in the market for a permanent fifth. For now, and most likely for ESL Cologne as well, they appear to be happy with another Chrome and stand-in performance, but afterwards they might need to make a move. And the only real alternative to NBK would be someone like Yoshima, who has been famously been touted the problem after he has been kicked from FaZe almost a year ago now. And this is maybe where Mouse comes into play. If the Stiko rumors turn out to be true, nothing will be a stand-in for them once again in Cologne, and afterwards they will have to look into replacing Stuko as a permanent member. With Mouse not being as deep-pocketed as the other aforementioned teams, players like NBK and Apex will not even be in consideration for them. So depending on which role they want their new fifth to take in the lineup, either Scream or Kiyoshima become most interesting for them almost by default. So, bar anything crazy happening in the next 2 weeks, these are the options these three teams have. But when talking about ESL Cologne in the short term, I'd actually think for it to be most likely that not only Mouse and FaZe will play with a stand-in, namely Nothing and Chrome, but also Cloud9 will play with a stand-in. And maybe even with FNX, who could return to the lineup as a role player, similar to what Fnatic did with Golden after they got Exist and before they got Dragon. But we're bound to see some more movement in these rosters before the late summer action, before the London Major starts, with almost 100% certainty, or with 100% certainty. And with that, we arrived at the end of this week's episode. You know the drill by now. If you have any questions, suggestions, or other remarks, please let me know on social media. As always, all the important links are in the show notes of this episode. If you want to voice your opinion about this podcast, I would really appreciate a rating on iTunes or pretty much wherever you are listening to this right now. Any kind of feedback would be highly appreciated. Finally, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you guys next week. See ya!